And we are back. Welcome, guys, to episode 8 of the Monday. So you know what that means. Let's get into it.
All right.
So first on the slate in sports, the NBA playoffs were finally set up with Portland and Memphis just playing their playing game the other day. Who do you guys think are some dark horses to win the finals or get to the finals? And who do you think will be actually in the finals? Kyle?
Yeah, so I'd say a dark horse team would be, let's see here, maybe the Boston Celtics from the East at least. And then from the West, you have to go with not really a dark horse team, but a team to really compete with, and that's the Houston Rockets, of course. So those are two dark horse teams. But my finals prediction right now is Lakers-Bucks.
Why do you think the Rockets are going to be a dark horse Russell Westbrook's now out, by the way?
Yeah, I understand that, but you have probably an easier first-round matchup against the Thunder.
Who's going to fill his void, though?
I mean, you had Austin Rivers go off for 41 points the other day, so you have him. I mean, I think their line – I know you don't like talking about their small ball lineup, but it's kind of worked so far. I think you just gotta make it through the first round without Westbrook, and I think you'll be fine, honestly, going forward. So
I think talking about the East, not so much a dark horse team, but I think the Raptors have a good shot at beating the Bucks to get into the finals. I don't think they'd win. But I think they're getting overlooked. They're a pretty good team.
But what do they have besides Siakam?
I mean, it doesn't matter. They've been playing well in the bubble.
Yeah, they've always been a good team. They've always been a good regular season team.
What?
They've always been a good regular season team. Lowry just disappears in the playoffs.
I mean, they just won one, so.
Yeah, because they had Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, but they've been playing well without him, too.
Why are they going to beat Giannis in the Bucks?
Because I think they're a good team. I mean, they're not bad just because they don't have Kawhi.
All right, David.
I kind of agree with Austin a little bit with the Raptors. I think they're kind of a built team. They have a chance to beat Giannis. And like last year, kind of saw Giannis disappear in some games against the Raptors, especially games 5 and 6 when they played him. He kind of didn't shoot. He shot pretty poorly. So I think their potential team in the East, I don't really see anyone else in the East coming out besides the Bucks or Raptors. I don't think any of their teams a big threat, like the Heat or frauds. Pacers aren't that good, and Magic aren't going to do anything. Sixers, no. Celtics, maybe, but I just don't. I think they need another year or so of experience to have a real shot at going to the finals. And then in the West, I would say Nuggets would be the dark horse here, although they're the 2 seed. I think they still probably have worse odds than the Clippers, who are the 3, and obviously the Lakers at the 1. I would probably have to say the matchup in the finals. I actually think it's going to be Lakers and Toronto. I don't think the Bucks will make it, and it's going to hurt Giannis a lot because he's going into his offseason now where he can, I believe, sign with another team. So I don't know if he'll stay with Milwaukee or if he'll depart.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to the next topic, baseball has been started. And kind of a recent development people have been talking about is Shane Bieber. He's been insane in the 4 games he's pitched, or 5 games he's pitched. He is a top Cy Young candidate. Is he the real deal?
I think so. I mean, he's putting up numbers next to Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan. I think he's going to be probably one of the best pitchers for the next 5 to 10 years for the Indians. Hopefully he can stay.
Yeah, to go along with that, I mean, he's putting up great numbers right now, and he's really flourishing as, with at least Clevinger out, is like the only great pitcher on this roster. I mean, Plesac's looked pretty good. Carrasco's been iffy here and there. Clevinger, okay. But Shane Bieber has really established himself as the number one guy on this team and probably like one of the best in baseball. So that's a good thing. Finally, I think the bats are starting to turn around too a little bit. I mean, the competition isn't the same as the Cubs, but you have a good series against the Tigers. So that's good. But yeah, Beaver's been very good, and it's always a good thing that every 5 days you are going to go into it with a good chance of winning the game and having your starter go 7+ in most of those outings, hopefully.
It's kind of interesting to me too, because people didn't really know about Shane Beaver, I would say, until last year when he kind of made the appearance in the All-Star game and he's kind of slept on. So it's kind of cool seeing a hometown guy come out of nowhere and kind of surprise, not this year really surprised, but kind of end of last year, then kind of showing he's hopefully the true, the real deal in Cleveland. But I think that's it for that topic. Next, moving on, there were some reports that some of, with the recent cancellations of Big Ten football, that the Big Ten, some of the teams, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, a couple other teams, were talking about maybe moving to the ACC. Also recently, I think it was today, Justin Fields made a petition to try to start the Big Ten back up. I don't know if that's really going to work out, but what are your thoughts on that? Do you think the Big Ten will go to the ACC, or are they just going to have a spring season or no season at all?
I mean, there's obviously many players on Ohio State and other teams that they want to play this season, and it just becomes a lot more complicated if you put a football season in the spring, especially when there's NFL implications for a lot of the players on the team. So I don't know. I know the Big Ten canceled their season, but I could see Ohio State, I don't even know, maybe moving the ACC. I'm not really too sure on how that all works out. I don't know if they can move conferences that easily. They might have to go to the Supreme Court to try and change their conference, but we'll see about that. But I think there's a chance that we see Ohio State play this year, and that'd be good to watch.
Do you think Fields' petition will do anything, or do you think the Big Ten's officially?
I think the NCAA and the Big Ten overrule anything that I know Fields makes good argument. The only thing is if Ohio State can somehow get out of the Big Ten for the season, I just don't know how that really works out. So
I'd agree with you. And also on the point about football in the spring, I just think the timing makes that very difficult to do. So I think it's either they have it in the fall or they don't have a season. With Ohio State or some Big Ten teams moving to the ACC, I think if that were to happen, it couldn't just be one team. It would have to be multiple big teams like Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin. It'd have to be a group of those. Otherwise, I don't think just one team would be able to move in.
Although Notre Dame just got to move in, though.
But they're an independent, so it's way different with that.
Yeah, that's true. Even though they can play, they've been just kept on shying away from doing that. It's funny when they, you know, need it to happen, they'll decide to hop in just to play football, but they won't do it when it's normally like a normal season, let's say. So kind of shows a little fraudiness from them. All right, well, getting off that topic, we're going to move on to the last topic here we got in sports. This past week, George Kittle and Travis Kelce both got paid pretty big. Who do you guys, in your opinion, think is the better player, and why?
So I would say Travis.
And maybe even with, like, because Kelce's a little older, obviously, so who will be better in the next 5 years, let's say, because their contracts are 5 and 4 years respectively, I believe.
So I would say Kelce is probably the better receiving tight end. And I guess that helps when you have the best quarterback on your roster. But I think overall, I think Kelce's the better receiving tight end. But I think George Kittle is probably the best overall tight end with his ability to block. I mean, they're both good at it, but I think Kittle is a very good blocker, and he's still a really good receiver too. So I'm not sure. They're just like 1A and 1B. I can't really like tell you one's better than the other, because you could say Kelce puts up better numbers, but then again, he has a better quarterback throwing it to him. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Kittle is better overall. I mean, it's close. It's like, what's the saying?
What?
I don't know. It's close. We'll say that. But Travis Kelce, he is a hometown guy from Cleveland. Really like his playing. But I'd say Kittle should get more money with his contract. And I think he'll be better in the future, too.
I think Kelce's the better tight end, even though he has Mahomes as a quarterback. When he played with Alex Smith in a couple of seasons prior, he still put up pretty solid numbers. He didn't have as many yards, but he still had same average amount of yards, still had decent amount of touchdowns in those years. And he's a threat when he's out there. I know they do have Tyreek Hill, who's people are always looking at, but Kelce, I think, is probably – he's got to be one of the top red zone targets in the entire league. He's always down there, big guy. And although Kittle is younger, so I think maybe the next 5 years, Kittle will be able to show himself a little better because Kelce kind of, I would say, is entering a downhill part of his career, and he's probably not going to be in his prime as he's 30, I believe, and Kittle is 26, like I said. You guys have any more thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, your opinion is Kelce's better. I'd say Kittle might be a little bit better. Maybe. It's by a slim margin, if anything. So,
it's like splitting hairs. That's what I was.
There we go. That's the same. But both very good. Both deserve to get paid. Kittle probably in the long run is gonna be a better tight end. So,
yeah. Either of them have a chance to be in the Hall of Fame.
I think both of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, barring an injury. So I think they're Kittle, both very good at what
they Kittle do. Does Kittle need a chip to get in there?
No, I don't think – well, Antonio Gates never had a chip, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. Trying to think who else.
I mean, yeah.
Did Jimmy Graham ever win a chip? He's probably going to the Hall of Fame with the numbers he put up in his career. So
yeah, that's true. All right, well, moving on to a little personal topic area. Our first topic in this, as everyone knows in our house, Austin and myself had a little room issue here at the house back in May. We all drafted our rooms. Austin had the second pick. I had the third pick, whatever. Everyone else had their other picks. Austin chose a room in our house, whatever. I chose another room. Austin moved down to school a couple days before I did. And he just decided to take the room that I actually originally picked. His argument for it, he can tell you the side. In my opinion, doesn't really make any sense. But, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll let you guys in on the – situation, what happened. So we had a draft. I had second pick, David had third pick, as he told you already. But we were basing our picks off of a floor plan that happened to be false. There's no reason for me to assume it was false. It was written up and approved. So I got to school, and my room that I originally picked didn't exist. So if we want to get into the technicalities here, I picked a room that was 11 by 13, and it was square. And I mentioned that because that was a factor in my decision-making at the time. And I realized when I got here, it was not a square. I think it has 8 sides to it. It's like half of an octagon.
I mean, it's still pretty much a square. There's just a little jut out where the fireplace is.
There's 2 jut outs, if you want to call it that.
I believe it is a hectagon, Austin. I believe that is a six-sided shape.
Well, it's half of a hexagon.
No.
Also,
it's six-sided.
My room?
Wait.
I think mine is 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it is 8. Or it's 6 or 8, but still, anyways. Besides the point.
It's not shaped like a hexagon. It's like half a square, half a hexagon, we'll say. But again, not a square. So that really changes the dimensions of the room and makes it smaller, which was the factor that I was using to distinguish between those two rooms. Me and David both knew that my decision was between the room I'm in now and the room he had. And I chose it because I believe it was 3 square feet bigger. And with that design of the room, it happened to be smaller. So following the logic of my pick, it would remain that the room I am in now rightfully belongs to me.
But my room's still bigger than yours right now.
That's no.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No.
Well, anyways, even if it isn't, you would think that Austin would maybe discuss it with me and not just take it. He maybe would ask me and talk about it with me instead of just deciding to take the room for no reason.
I sent a note.
You sent it after you already moved everything in, like the next day.
No, it was the same day. I didn't move anything in yet.
Really?
Really?
That's cap.
I said, David, I'm moving into your room. And then I started moving in.
But what if I said no? I said no to that. What if I said no to that?
I have the higher.
Are you still going to do it?
Yes.
That's BS.
I have the higher pick, so.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, though. Think about this. What if I just – so I was the last one to move in. If I just kicked somebody out of their room when I got here, would they – how do you think they would feel about that?
Look, I'm not saying that you should feel okay about it. It sucks, but, you know, it sucks. What really sucks is having the last pick.
I mean, yeah, that's besides the point, though. The point is that you ended up taking the room that I picked.
Not necessarily. That's not besides the point. I mean,
what's the room that I picked? Whatever. This is 13-3 by 10-9. This room is 13-3 by 10-9.
Yeah.
So I picked that room.
Doesn't matter.
How?
Because your pick is below mine.
Yeah, but you are. Anyway, see, this is what kind of happened here with our argument, is it kind of went nowhere. So I ended up just taking, I guess, Austin's original pick, which he claimed his room didn't exist. I'm still okay with the room. The only downside is it doesn't, I guess, really have a technical closet. But I guess on the upside, mine has a light and his doesn't now.
There's a trade-off.
So it ended up being okay. I'll remember it for sure when we look back on this in 10, 15 years. But,
oh, yeah.
It is what it is, as our great friend Sean Hyde would say. Next topic. I think we're all done with this one, Kyle. You have anything else to add to it?
No, I mean, you guys kind of figured it out. You guys are big boys, and you guys can settle this argument. You guys both seem content with your rooms, which is good, and there's no bad blood continuing, so
nope.
Good for you guys.
All right, so our next topic, Austin can kind of leave this one off because he talked about it in our previous podcast.
Yeah, so I've gotten a little bit of backlash for some of my comments that I made in the previous episode about, I said generally, I admitted it was a overstatement or oversimplification, but I said girls don't know much about sports. And after being in Oxford, I was actually pleasantly surprised when I found out that more girls than I thought do know things about sports. So a little background on this story. Me and David walking home from downtown Oxford. And on our way home, we are walking on this sidewalk and we notice a group of people sitting in a circle, kind of strange, but they're blocking the sidewalk that we need to our house. So as we're walking by, they threw all 4 girls, one of them threw a frisbee, and I think David caught it, really random. But anyways, they asked us to sit down with them, so we were like, okay, whatever.
We didn't have anything really else better to do, so.
Right.
Sure.
So we sit down, and they wanted us to play a game with them, categories. And if you don't know how to play, you basically just pick a category, like sports, and start listing off sports until someone can't. And to my surprise, the first category they pick is athletes, which probably ended up being not the greatest choice because we could have gone basically the whole night. But we went around in a circle, I believe it was maybe three or four times, just on golfers. So that really blew my mind. They actually knew athletes and how to correctly pronounce their names. So I do take back that statement. I'd say girls do know a good amount about sports.
What's your thought there, Kyle? Do you agree with that statement, or?
I think Austin and David, you guys just found a fluke of just like a. I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, but just
an exception.
Exception to the rule, yes. You just found some girls, and you kind of said they were not in the best state of mind when you met them. So,
I mean, they're all coherent.
Oh, that's good, at least. But I don't know. I think that was just an exception to the rule of the.
But when you think about it, it wasn't just one; it was four.
They also named multiple athletes, and it wasn't just they stuttered one. We were going around pretty quickly. It was pretty fluid.
Well, I wasn't there, so I guess I can't really talk about it too much. But
and I girl, just one more thing to add: it's not like it was the popular sports like basketball and football, sure. Even though we did go through those. But I mean, golf—that's so pretty surprising to me.
Talk about tennis too a little bit.
Yeah.
True. Well, you know, they sound like keepers.
Well, potentially. They invite us over their house after, so you know, maybe it'll be a keeper. All right. Anyways, moving on to our third topic here in personal category. So the other day, as a house, and we had a couple friends over. We decided to have a little bit of a beer Olympics going on. We had, you know, various categories. We had beer pong, die. I think Chinese slip cup is the name for it. And we also played Hungry Hippos and another game called Tits. So that was pretty fun. We did run into a little trouble, though, with the law. As we were told that we were playing our music a little bit too loud. Anything else you guys want to add on to this one?
I'll just like to say congrats to you two as you guys were on a team and you guys ended up winning the Olympic category. I was on a team with my good friend Dylan Santa Cruz and we came in second. So that was good. I'd also like to point out that I did end up winning tits for our team. It was David and me in the finals, and
I'll fact check you right there. It was us two.
Oh shit! It was Austin.
It was us three. Yeah,
it was us three in the finals. Yeah, right, the last three. So, and I beat you, Austin. So,
well, you know, we played that game 10 times. You win one, but you know, sometimes that's just how the dice roll.
I don't know about that.
I would have to agree with Austin. You aren't even going to be in the final two the next 10 times we play.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Or will
we'll see about that. But Austin, how was it talking to the police officer?
Yeah, so we did have a police officer come over and talk to us about a noise violation. Our music was being too loud. I was respectful. We both were, but it was fine. I could handle the situation. Although I did not appreciate the inconsistent application of the rule that we were violating. As we were talking to the police officer, music that was violating the law. This law is
City of Oxford Ordinance.
Yep. So you cannot play music if you can hear it long or further from 25 feet away, which is a ridiculous law or ordinance, whatever it may be, because you can hear my phone speaker from 25 feet away. Anyways, we could hear music from further than 25 feet, yet they did not receive any fine or anything whatsoever.
Yeah, the cop was kind of acting like a douche cop, as we would say. he was seemed like he had something, I don't know, something up, stick up his ass or something like that. Just was not friendly at all, as we had encountered a couple cops or police officers, whichever one you want to say, last year, and they both gave us or politely gave us warnings and, you know, understood why we understood why we were doing the wrong thing in that situation. And we even asked this officer why there was no warning given, or we asked him what is appropriate music, and he kind of just shrugged it off and was just like saying, well, I could hear it from 25 feet away. I could hear it up on this street. Oh, it's too loud. Like we said, we even heard other people playing the music. They didn't get crap for it. Good thing is, though, we went immediately after this happened, and probably about 15, 20 minutes after. I had my handy-dandy ones with me. Gave him a, it was a $150 fine. I gave him $151 bills, made him count it out in front of us. We said, that's it, I guess, and gave it to him. So,
looking back at it, we should have tried and gotten change. And just gotten like $150 and change to make them count.
We should have just got that. All pennies.
Yeah, so that would have been a lot of pennies.
Next, if it happens next time, we're seriously doing
it. Yeah,
we'll get we'll get all the pennies, put them like in a bag or wherever the hell we're gonna put them, and go to the police station and just drop the bag, and we'll probably be waiting there for an hour or so for whoever to count it, but it'll be worth it.
That's it.
And it's worth their time to go, you know, pull us over for playing music too loud when it's the first weekend back from school where they know everybody's trying to enjoy a somewhat odd year, and especially our senior year.
That's true. The only thing, the only other thing that bothered me was, like, there's the there's like a house like two doors down basically from us, and you can hear that like music being played like all day long for like the past like week, and like I know the speaker's like in the backyard, but it's like you can still hear it from like the same distance that the cop was when he was talking to us.
That's where my problem lies, is that you could have different execution of that law pretty much. The officer even admitted himself. He said it varies from police officer to police officer. So that, in my opinion, just cancels out the law, because that's the point. The law is supposed to have a set limit, which is why I would argue that a decibel level for noise would be better than hearing something from a certain distance.
But, yeah, because a cop could have much better hearing than another cop. I mean, music was a little, it was definitely too loud, but could have definitely asked us, hey guys, can you turn it down? And we didn't even, nobody even complained at us. I don't know if you already mentioned that. No one complained. The cop just said he drove by, heard it. Went around the block and came back and said he still heard it. So he decided to write up a ticket for us. And there was no complaint from any neighbor, anybody nearby. But I think that's it for that topic. Unfortunately, that happened. But I think the Beer Olympics was a success besides that. So our last topic is kind of more so Austin and I are going to talk about it, because Kyle wasn't really present for this. He was there a little bit, but he had to go home early for other reasons. Last night, Austin and I went over to a friend's house, and there was a little party going on, and we were playing beer pong. So we were pretty much on the table all night, back and forth with these two guys we were playing against. Which one? His name is Corey, and I believe the other one's name was
Donnie.
Yes. So Corey actually is from Ohio State, but I think Donnie is from Miami. And, you know, we won the first couple games against them pretty close. And then all of a sudden, they won five straight against us, like, just dialed in. Then we kind of went back and forth. We were off the table for a little bit, whatever. Then they went off the table. We won a couple games. And then Corey got back on. His friend Donnie must have left or gone somewhere. And he's playing with some girl, Shannon, I believe. Anyways, so Austin and I got up early on this team. We were probably had hit like 6-7 cups. They only hit 2 or 3. Actually, because we got Corey, he had bitch cup in the middle. So we had him on the ground on his knees. Mm-hmm. So he had struggling a little bit there. Anyways, kid gets back up off his knees and just starts going fire. So we had one cup left. You know, rules work. We hit the cup. He had a chance to redempt. He redempts the first time. We hit it again. He redempts again. We hit it again. He redempts again. We hit it again. I think his partner attempted this time. And then it goes on for, I think two or three more times he keeps on redempting. And then finally at the end, we hit and he missed. His partner missed. Game over. We won. But this kid was wet all night. Could not miss a shot. We knew what he was doing. He would call Island. We knew it go in. We knew which cup he wanted to pull because he was just consistent. He did have, you basically before he threw the ball, we knew what cup it was going into. We were ready to pull it out.
It was something that I've never seen before, and I don't think I will see it ever again. Honestly, this was probably the best beer pong player I've ever seen. I mean, to redempt
seven.
A single cup.
He did six
times. He hit the same cup seven times in a row.
It was the same cup, too, because they had three cups up still, and he just kept on hitting the same front cup every single time.
It was an island,
and granted, his partner did hit one for him, but anyways, kid was insane. Animal, different breed, honestly.
I've never seen. I mean, I have to give props for that product.
One of the best athletes at Ohio State, Justin Fields.
Justin Fields or Corey?
Justin Fields might Corey. Have some competition.
Yeah. So that's good. I mean, that sounds like it wasn't a fluke, you guys.
It could not be a fluke.
Not be a fluke. Kid was on fire. I don't know what was in his veins or what he had.
Ice.
Seemed like he must have been on drugs or something because that guy was automatic.
You should have tested him for performance and performance enhancing drugs.
He had aimbot.
Yeah, he had aimbot. Something like that. Something crazy. Well, I think that's it, guys. Thank you for listening to episode 8 of the Weekend Hangover, and we will see you next Monday.